Would you join me in making this confession first? Because again, it's a pretty easy scripture to find where we'll be for the main part of the message this morning. So again, on the back of your bulletin, a place to write down any scripture references or notes that you may want to take with you. We'll have the words on the screen. Those of you joining online as well, why don't you come on and say it with us and just tune in, get connected, and receive all that the Lord has for you wherever you are today as well. And so if you join me in this confession, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. Never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in Genesis 12, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, and continue in this series on the life of Abraham, the life and faith of Abraham. And we'll have at least one more next week. I'm not sure beyond that, but one more message, God willing, next week, just because I know the chapter that's coming up. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to just walk through a few verses here to heading into chapter 20 because it sets up for it. But Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 2. We read these words. God is speaking to this man, Abraham, before he had changed his name. But he says, I will. God says, I'm going to take the responsibility. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And then you shall be a blessing. So he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. At this time, he's 75 years old and has no children. Then, if you look at verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, again, he has no children, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there, Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So God says, I'm going to do something for you. I'm telling you, I'm giving you my word that I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you a great nation so that you'll be blessed and turn around and be a blessing to all families of the earth, because I want to reach all people. Then he gets into a test in verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land. Anytime there is a famine in any area of our lives, a lack, so to speak, we can be tempted to look elsewhere to have that need, a legitimate need, met outside of either God or his will. So they went down to Egypt to live there because the famine was so severe. Then verse 11 says, it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. And I'm sure she was. I don't know if he was buttering her up a little bit here for this, what he was getting ready to say or not. But then he says in verse 12, therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they'll say, this is wife. They'll kill me to get to you and they'll let you live. Now, again, God had already told him, I'm going to make you a great nation and you're going to have many descendants. But in this case, welcome to humanity, he allowed his fear to override his faith in God and his faith in God's word. And he basically lied. He did it deceptively to save himself. Years later, would you turn to chapter 20? Genesis chapter 20, because he is in a similar situation. This is very important. He's in a similar situation. And again, years later, would he pass the test this time? Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, speaking of like southern, maybe the Israel today, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Verse 2. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her. Well, here is the title of the message today. Let me give you this because it's come to my mind repeatedly through this week. I want to ask it in a way that will encourage you, not discourage you. We all face tests in life, Christian or not even, but as believers, we face tests. And what if the test we're in right now, whatever that may be, what if, like Abraham, God ordained that if we take the test and don't pass it, do y'all remember what would happen when we were in school if you didn't pass a grade? Do you remember if you failed a grade, do you remember what you had to do? Take it again. Abraham had to take the test again. And he still failed it. What if God ordained, and I believe I can show you why from Scripture, for us to take this test we're in right now until we trust him enough to pass it? I want to ask you that because I want you to think about, then what can I do to have God's grace to pass this test? So here's the title of the message, the theme that I hope we'll get in our heart, ultimately not just in our heart or even our mouths, but we live it out, and that's this: trust God and pass the test. Trust God and pass the test. Would you please say that with me? Trust God and pass the test. And I'm going to read a few verses here in chapter 20. And this is a very important account because it teaches two truths throughout the Bible. And people will have a tendency to take one truth and go kind of outside of the, maybe too far with it to the exclusion of the other truth. They're both accurate. They're both true. And so here it is. If you look at verse 3, because God's going to intervene to fulfill his word, that's important. Even though Abraham failed the test, remember what God said, I'm doing this one. So on verse 3, it says, but God came to this man, Abimelech, in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you're a dead man, because the woman whom you've taken, for she's a man's wife. That's not the kind of dream. First of all, you don't want to get in that situation. Verse 4 says, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? And then verse 5, did he not say to me, she's my sister. She even herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I've done this. Now, here are the two principles. All right, I'll read you the next two verses so you can see them if you want to write them down. God's sovereignty is the first one. Sovereignty means that God is ultimately in control. He is the ultimate authority, and ultimately his will is accomplished. All right, let me read that scripture. This is what it says in verse 6. It says, and God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. That's the sovereignty of God, where he intervenes and says, I'm going to keep you from doing what you may be tempted to do. Would you say sovereignty? But that's not the only truth. And some people can take that to such a degree that they don't balance it with the next truth, which is in the next verse. Verse 7. Now, would you say now? Yeah. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he'll pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, now, I kept you one time, but if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die and all who are yours. So the second truth is our responsibility. There's God's sovereignty, but it's also our responsibility that both go together, and that's taught in God's word from cover to cover. God's sovereignty and our responsibility. On the website, I think we have a picture of my notes on the website. I went ahead and put them up. And when I checked the church email this morning, Miss Charlotte had already read them and she posted something on it. So I responded. But if you go on the website, this is what it'll look like where it says from the pastor, however it's worded. And that's the notes that I'm using today. All right. Trust God and pass the test. So if you ever want to review them, or if you're in here and something is up on the screen, you can use your phone and take a picture. I keep forgetting about that one, but I just want to make it aware that take advantage of the technology from the pastor. And but clmfamily.org is the website, clmfamily.org. That way you can review them at any time. So I just wanted you to be aware of it. So let me, I want to give you a few verses in the New Testament right now. But before I do, I just encourage you to stay in Genesis. I want to be mindful of the time, but I really just want to get this across to you because God never tempts us to sin. The Bible teaches that clearly, especially in James 1. God never tempts us to sin, but he does test our faith. And this morning, in just a little bit, I want to give you three reasons why. Maybe plenty of reasons, but I just want you to see these three. So, again, we'll talk about, I want to emphasize this one more time. God's sovereignty does not mean that everything that happens is his will. That's why Jesus told us to pray for his will, God's will to be done, and for his kingdom, his reign to come. What it does mean is that because God is sovereign, he can overrule all sin and evil, even what others or the devil intends for evil against us, and he can turn it around for our good and his glory and ultimately accomplish his will. That's what that means. Amen. So trust God and pass the test because God can orchestrate not only events, he can work through people, he can even work through nations to accomplish his will. And ultimately, that will happen. So let me read you these verses, probably familiar to you from Romans chapter 8. Again, if you just stay there, I'll read them to you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we read these words. And we know that all things, it doesn't say everything is good, but it says we know this, that all things work together for good to who? To those who love God. See, God is a father, and he wants us to know him, and he wants us to be close to him. That's sometimes why he allows the test, so that we would be close to him. Then he goes on in verse, he says, love God to those who are the called according to his purpose. 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God also allows tests in our lives because not only can it draw us closer to him, it can help us grow more like him. More like Jesus, God is working that into us constantly. Then he says in verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He sees us in our glorified state. But we're still in the process right now. Then verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Would you read that with me? Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then the last in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank God. That's why I asked that question earlier. What if God ordained to draw us closer to him, to grow more like his son, and to use us as a testimony to others? What if he ordained that I got to take this test until I learn to pass it? It's so appropriate that I had some circumstances this week let me say it this way. I have a chance to live it out. Trust God and pass the test, and don't we all? Trust God. Let me give you these three reasons that are scriptural, I believe, for why God allows and even ordains the testing of our faith. So if you want to write them down, or we'll put them on the screen. Again, if you just stay there, I'll read them to you. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says this. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you and test you to know what was in your heart. Now, God already knows whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he, again, humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you didn't know nor your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by physical bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The first reason that God ordains tests for us is to reveal our hearts to us, to reveal our hearts. Again, God knows, but until I get in the test, I don't always know, do I really love God enough to trust him and keep his word? So it's a revelation to me of what's in my heart. Twice there, he said, I allowed it because it humbled you. And see, if we allow pride to well up in our heart, and it can be subtle and some type of just arrogance and let that pride come in, then God resists us instead of giving us the grace to have the victory. So it can reveal our hearts. And still in that same chapter, verse 16 says this, Deuteronomy 8:16 says that God fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, again, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Do you see God's heart? He's not trying to hurt us. He's working something in us to help us grow and to be better and to bring something good into our lives. Sometimes we can put the process or receiving of what's good off because we're not ready to handle yet to the glory of God. So the test can bring that to light so that we get it right. Then he says this in verse 17, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for he who gives you the power or ability to get wealth. I'm sorry, that's verse 18. Let me back up. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Verse 17, that you say in your heart, again, remember, it's in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Wait a minute now. You shall remember the Lord your God, for he gave you that ability to get the wealth that he may establish his covenant. See, God will bless us as a testimony to others so that they can come into that covenant of the new covenant Jesus purchased for us as well. But if we fail the test, we may have to keep taking it. So if I allow, hey, I did this on my own. Wait a minute. Why don't we say, Lord, thank you that you helped me do this. And I have confidence in my ability, but I realize that you're the one that gave me that ability. So to thank the Lord, so the test can reveal what's in our heart. And then number two, because we don't want anything to hinder our fellowship with the Lord. If we hinder the fellowship, then the fruitfulness stops. And then number two, because it produces perseverance and maturity in us. If we handle the test the right way, and I'll read you the scripture, it will produce endurance or perseverance, like stick-to-itiveness and maturity. Sometimes we can be too easy to quit, and God says, that's not like my son, I need to work circumstances out. Now, that doesn't mean there are times we need to move on. Thank God for that. But we want it to be led by his spirit, not just because I was just speaking with someone recently about employment, and speaking of how sometimes difficult to find a person to work faithfully with a good work ethic, and because someone was supposed to work for this particular business and didn't show up, didn't call or anything. But sometimes bosses can be mean and arrogant and all that, and I'm not endorsing any of that, but maybe sometimes there is a correction that's given, and if we're so easily offended that we're just gonna walk off the job, we're gonna hinder ourselves in life. So trust God and pass the test. Would you say that with me? Trust God and pass the test. James chapter 1, we read these words. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. I'll talk about that in a moment. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, and that word means perseverance or endurance, but let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be, and that word means mature and complete, lacking nothing. We can face the test with a positive outlook and a positive attitude because we know God is doing something to bring something good out of it, to help us have perseverance, to run this race with endurance, and he's helping us to mature to be more like Jesus. That's why he allows the test. Not just allows, even ordains them at times. So if that means I got to keep taking this test until I trust him for the grace to pass it, he may allow that to happen. You okay? Again, I'm not trying to be discouraging about it here. I want to encourage you along with myself to say, hey, let's face it with the right attitude. Let's just trust God, get this thing right. If we don't go through tests, let's at least take a different one. Let's pass this one. Let's grow and let's have God's grace for what's coming. All right? And then the third one, not only does it do tests reveal our hearts, do they produce perseverance and maturity if we handle them correctly, but they also produce a purifying effect in us. Purity and praise. And I'll read you the scripture about who the praise comes from. So sometimes the test of our faith can bring something to the surface. One of the pastors that was a former pastor in New York at Times Square Church, he was a police officer. And before he became a pastor, they played badminton as police officers there. And he had given his life to the Lord. He was a Christian. And God was working. And he eventually led some of his fellow police officers to the Lord. But they were playing badminton one day. And he talked about how when he missed, a word came out. And he said all through the gym, it was just like, and see, he may not have known that was in there till he was put in the circumstance. And thank God he didn't just quit. And he was honest about it. He asked forgiveness and, like I said, ended up leading some of his fellow workers to the Lord before it's all said and done. Serves the Lord faithfully to this day. But sometimes those will come up to reveal our heart so that we can remove them. That's the purifying effect, like gold. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:7, if you want to write it down, and then we'll read a few verses in Genesis. It says this, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. The New Testament talks about those who would rather receive praise from men than the praise that comes from God. I appreciate someone's genuine word of encouragement, but Lord knows I want his praise. If we get his praise, whoever in this life may or may not praise us, it's all right. And he says, if your faith, you stay and trust me, and your faith is going to be purified, and you're going to receive my praise when you stand before me one day, completely sin-free. Thank God. Would you say, trust God and pass the test? Genesis 18, I'm almost done. Genesis chapter 18. If you drop back just a couple of chapters there, I'll read one verse and then in chapter 21. Genesis 18, 14. The Bible says this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know who's asking that? Him. The Lord is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And please notice these phrases. At the appointed time, would you say appointed? Appointed. I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90. Now will you turn to chapter 21. God says, is anything too hard for me? Then chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says this. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. That's how we started this message. It all comes back to faith in God and his word. See, our trust in the Lord is based on who he is, all-powerful, but also what he's done. That's one of the reasons I wanted to sing that song this morning, because he loved us enough to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He's for us. That's what his scripture we read in Romans 8. And if God is for us, then what difference does it make who's against us, really? Let's trust him and pass the test. And he visited Sarah, and it says, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, verse 2, for Sarah conceived, 90 years old, and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the, again, set time. So an appointed time, a set time of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore, Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. Laughter. Yitzhak is how you say that in Hebrew. I want to close with one scripture in Galatians. Would you turn there with me in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4? Because this, I told Clarence when I sent him, I know it's a lot to have here for you to, that's why I said, I want you to know that the website is available for you if you want it, or take a screenshot. But I want, this is, we got to live this out. And it's not just about the test, but it's the timing. Because how many of us can say, I know what it is to have that like disheartening, disappointing feeling of what I'd hoped for and what I prayed for not working out the way I had hoped and prayed. The proverb says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's disheartening. Thank God that's not the only part of that proverb. It says, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. God will grant godly desires. So it's, I know it's disheartening, but I want to just share these two truths. If you want, again, write them down, or they'll be on the screen on the website, related to God's timing, because what God's timing involves. See, that's why it's important in those seasons where we're waiting and hoping and praying, I've got to know how much God loves me, and that he is a father, and that he's for me and not against me, and he's not just withholding good from me. Remember, he allows the test to bring us good. So he's working something in, and it's not just that, what that scripture says, it all works out for good. It's not all good, but it all works out for good. And here's what God sees, the end from the beginning. And it's already completed to him. See, he has the full view. We see time. And that's why it can be so disheartening. That's why I wanted to open up the service this morning with that scripture. Let's focus more, not just on what we see, but on God's word and truth and heavenly realities on what we don't see, because that's what's going to last forever. And that's what's going to encourage us to face the test and trust God now. So here are the two truths related to eternity. Galatians chapter 4, or God's timing rather. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, remember those phrases, the appointed time, the set time? Here he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The first truth related to God's timing involves preparation. Preparation. Think of all the years that went by and how God worked in individuals like Abraham. He worked in nations and circumstances, whether it was the nation of Israel or even raising up the Roman Empire at the time in history that he did. All kind of evil rulers, some good, some not, but that's sovereignty. He orchestrated it all to prepare the world for the arrival of his son. And when we're in that time of waiting, and the timing is God's will, but the timing of it has not yet taken place, it will test our faith. But just as God prepared the world for the arrival of his son, I believe God is preparing us for something that's coming too. See, God is preparing us for future blessing. He's preparing us for future opportunities, for future privilege, and for future ministry. So God is preparing us for what's coming. I believe on one of the, on the YouVersion app this morning, there's a little video that goes with the scripture. And it even talked about how the trials that we're facing today are preparing us to pass what's coming tomorrow. So again, to strengthen, God doesn't test our faith to hurt our faith. He tests our faith to strengthen our faith. So to give us future opportunities and effectiveness, that's so important. And then the last verse, verse 5, that God sent forth his son for this purpose to redeem. Would you say redeem? Redeem? To redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. So God's timing involves preparation, but it also involves redemption. Preparation and redemption. And this is where the trust really comes in. Because I don't know why I have to go through some of the nerve-wracking stuff, or at least it is to me, that I feel like, what was the purpose of this? Why am I even going through this? Why do I have to face this again? Why am I? And I go through all of the litany of stuff. But if I take the eternal view, then I see, wait a minute, This isn't just about me. We get to be a part of what God is doing to redeem humanity and even the very creation back to himself. So how is God using my current test as a testimony of his faithfulness that will ultimately bring somebody else to Jesus? Y'all good? I love you. God sees the big picture. I want to be the encourager here. I'm trying to say we're in this together. Let's trust God and pass the test. If it's a test, now everything in life isn't God's ordained test, but if it's a God-ordained test, it's for a good purpose. Let's trust him, cooperate with him. Let's pass the test and use it as a testimony for the glory of God. So I'll close with this today. We can trust a God who loved us enough to die for us. And if you haven't taken that first step of trust, to trust God for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life, and his spirit is drawing you now to say, I know I've sinned, I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be. And I really believe he loved me. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, all of them, and he conquered death. And right now, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm calling on you as my Lord. Save me and forgive me. He will do that. And he will not only do that, he'll forgive you, give you a brand new start, and send his spirit to live in your heart to help you have grace to pass these tests. So that'll be the second and last question I'll ask. And it's between you and the Lord now. But will you, those of you online, those of you maybe listening on the website, will you trust God to pass this current test that you're in right now by his grace and for his glory? If you will, can we go to the Lord right now? We just let him know to say, Lord, our faith feels so weak right now. I've been so down and discouraged. I focus on everything and anyone but you. But Lord, I'm readjusting today. Help me, Lord. Help me to focus on you, to trust you for the grace that I need to pass this test.